welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, Radio Westerns. Later on, Tales of the Texas Rangers, but right now it's William Boyd, starring as Hopalong Cassidy. The syndicated episode released for broadcast on February 22, 1950, called Wet Beef and Dry Bones.
With action and suspense out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy, the same Hoppy you cheer in motion pictures, and the same California you've laughed at a million times. Raw courage and quick shooting have built a legend around this famous hero. Hopalong is a name to be feared, respected, and admired, for this great cowboy rides the trails of adventure and excitement. William Boyd as Hopalong Cassidy and Andy Clyde as California. Well, Hoppy, what about our story?
We call this one Wet Beef and Dry Bones. It all started when California and I are returning from a trip into Mexico. We were riding through the broken country that lies east of Palo Verde in order to avoid Massacre Canyon. Steering clear of Massacre Canyon was California's idea. A lot of strange stories had sprung up about the canyon, and even though California wouldn't admit he believed them, he still couldn't see any sense in taking chances.
You suppose any such thing could be true, Hoppy? Well, do you? I'm asking a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, California. Afraid I wasn't listening.
I knowed you wasn't. Doggone it. That's the way you are. Soon as I start talking, you start thinking about something else.
Self-protection, California.
You keep it up and you'll be needing protection.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, start over again. What was it you wanted to know?
I was just asking all about them redskins that got massacred in Massacre Canyon, Hoppy. That's all. The way I heard it, when a dark night comes, when there ain't no moon, them redskins come alive again and go whooping and hollering through the canyon. You suppose there's any truth in it?
I wouldn't know. I've never been there.
Oh, just a lot of talk, of course. I ain't swallowing any of that guff, no siree. Hoppy, they say anybody sees them redskins don't never live to tell about it. Think there could be anything in that?
Well, I've heard of lots of people who've seen Indians and haven't lived to tell about it. Live Indians, naturally. I wouldn't know much about them after they've turned into ghosts.
Neither would I know. I don't know much about any ghosts, except there ain't a powerful lot of meat on them.
Wait a second, California. Look ahead there.
Hey, ain't that a female?
That's Molly Enders, isn't it?
I don't know. Who's Molly Enders?
Oh, you know her. Dave Enders' wife. Dave's the deputy over at Palo Verde.
Hey, what's she cutting away from the trail for? She's trying to dodge it?
Looks like it, doesn't it?
But what for?
I don't know. Probably mistook us for someone else.
Someone she's scared of?
Well, that's a thought, California. Could be. Suppose we ought to find out about it?
Well, a friend of yours, ain't she?
That's right. Let's head her off.
I don't... Where's she got to?
She headed down that draw. If we cut toward the other end, we should get there about the time she does.
Get up, boy.
Come on, Tyler. This way.
With you, Hoppy. Keep her going.
Whoa, Tyler.
Whoa, are you spavying coyote? Whoa there, whoa.
California, I don't see her. She may have turned off. She certainly...
Here I am.
Where are you, my...
Right behind these rocks. I've been waiting for you.
What's the idea of the gun, Molly?
Why, just the usual idea, Hoppy. I use it to shoot with.
Not at us, I hope.
You can hope if you want to, but make one move you shouldn't, and you're gonna feel real drafty.
Hopalong Cassidy and California were riding the trail that lay between Palo Verde and Massacre Canyon. They not only met Molly Enders, but also met with a surprise. Molly was supposed to be their friend. Yet, now she stands with a gun pointed directly at Hopalong's middle.
I mean business, Hoppy. I'm going to Massacre Canyon. Try to stop me and I'll shoot.
We never intended to stop you, Molly. We thought you'd mistaken us for somebody else.
No.
You're serious? You're really going into the canyon?
I have to. My husband's there.
In Massacre Canyon? Golly, I wouldn't go there for all the cows in Texas.
Dave left for the canyon a week ago. He went with Bob Travis. He was supposed to come back the next day. And no one's heard of him since.
He's been gone a week? All right, Molly. What's so unusual about that? He's a deputy sheriff, isn't he? I imagine he's often gone longer than he expected.
Yeah, but this time is different. This time he went to the canyon.
I've heard stories about that canyon. You trying to tell me they're true?
Look, if you lived in this valley, you'd know they're true, Hoppy. People go to the canyon and just disappear. Don't ask me why, they just disappear.
And dead Indians go howling up and down the canyon at night. That's true, too? You don't believe that, do you, Molly?
I don't laugh at things the way I used to, Hoppy. Now I just wish Dave had never gone there, that's all.
All right, take it easy, Molly. You're not the kind to cry, and if we can help you, we will. You'll have to tell us more, though. Dave didn't go to the canyon without a reason. Did he tell you what it was?
He said he thought the canyon was being used by rustlers.
But you didn't believe him?
How could I? There hasn't been any rustling around here.
You sure of that?
Of course I am. If there had been, I'd have heard of it. You know how cattlemen are. Miss two hairs off the tail of a notch-eared dogie, and they yell rustlers clear to the next county. They're always like that.
Don't I know it.
And besides, there's Bob Travers.
The man who went with him?
Yes.
What about him?
Well, he wouldn't have gone along if it wasn't something that interested him, would he? And I know he isn't missing any cattle. He's got more cows than grass right now.
I see. So now you're worried. Why didn't you tell someone else about this and get help?
I did. I told everyone. You think they'd help me? Ha, nothing doing. They wouldn't have gone to the canyon if I'd paid them for it.
Scared?
Of course they were. They even tried to stop me from going. That's why I pulled this gun on you. I thought you were trying to do the same thing.
Well, Molly, quit worrying about it. There's a reasonable explanation, I'm sure. California and I will try to find out what it is. Now, you better go home. We can... What is it, Molly?
It's there.
A horseman. What about him?
Look at him.
He sure looks beat up, Hoppy. Look at the way he's sitting that horse. If he ain't careful, he's gonna... Whoop! There he goes. Tumbled right off.
We'll have to see what's wrong with him. Who is he, Molly? You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I have.
Who is he?
Hoppy. That's Bob Travis. The man who went to Massacre Canyon with Dave. Feel better now, Bob?
A lot better, thanks, Molly.
What else can you tell us about Dave?
I think I've told you everything. It was the first night we camped in the canyon. One minute he wasn't but a few feet away from me, then I heard a yell and he was gone. I never saw him again. I looked all over for him, but he just disappeared.
Bob, do you think he's dead?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Molly.
But
disappearing isn't the same as knowing a man's dead, is it? Nah, I wouldn't say he's dead. Likely one of these days he'll be showing up again just as big as life.
Oh, I'm praying for that.
What happened to you? You look as if you'd had a bad time of it yourself.
I'll tell you, but you won't believe me.
No? What did happen?
It was right after Dave disappeared. I got beat up and I don't know who did it.
Masked men?
Neither
one. Strangers?
It was something that just picked me up and started throwing me around, something I couldn't see. I couldn't even hit it. I'd swing, and it was just like swinging at air. And yet, well, this is what it did to me.
Hoppy, I reckon that there canyon's the finest place I ever heard tell of for us to stay out of.
Quiet, California, quiet. Bob, I'm going to ask you a favor, a big favor. Molly's anxious about Dave. I've promised to look for him. And I've heard that Massacre Canyon is a sizable place. Would you go back with us, show us where all this happened? Well, will you, Bob?
When I left there, I swore I'd never go back.
I don't blame you.
But if you're going, I...
You'll go with us.
Yes, I will.
Good, good. Tell you what I'll do, Hoppy. You two go ahead. I'll ride to the bar 20 and hustle up some of the boys, and then we'll...
Don't think we'll need them, California. You'll come with us.
But that's
definite.
Definite?
Definite.
Oh, that's what I thought. But Can you blame a feller for trying?
Well, this is it, Hoppy. This is where we made camp and where Dave disappeared.
Yeah. Let's climb down and have a look before it gets too dark. Is this where you had the fight with your, well, whatever it was?
Right here.
Mm-hmm. Like there's been a fight here.
I sure don't like the looks of this canyon, Hoppy. Hey, Bob, what's that way over there?
Abandoned cliff dwellings. They were old when the Spaniards came through here.
I'm feeling kind of old myself, looking at all the bones scattered around. Must have been a big die up here some winter.
There was, California. Only it wasn't cattle. They were a Pawnee war party. Cheyenne dog soldiers chased them in here and got them all. That's how the canyon got its name. And these are the bones folks say rise up at night and go riding on the ghosts of their dead war horses.
Yeah? Doggone it, Bob, when a fella asks you a question, you tell him too darn much. And now, look here, Hoppy, about me riding back to the bar twice.
We'll go together.
Right now?
When we finish here.
Uh-oh.
And when we do go,
Good evening, gentlemen.
Well, what is... What is this?
I startled you, I'm sorry, but I thought it my duty to warn you.
Who the devil are you?
Let me introduce myself. I am Jared Stone, at your service. And if you should meet with any fatal mishap while visiting my canyon...
You live here?
Certainly, this is my home. I'm quite safe here. It has been my home for a number of months, but it might not be safe for you. So if you left and returned another time...
We're staying.
Well, that's up to you, of course.
Unpack our gear, California. We'll make camp. It'll soon be dark.
Hoppy, you awake?
Sure. What's up?
Where's Bob?
Here I am. Something happened?
Something terrible. I've been having dreams.
What were they, California?
Huh? Don't you know? You were in them. What was that?
Hear something?
I thought I did.
Hold it. I hear something, too. Come on, into the saddle.
Gentlemen.
What?
Who? Do not move. I have a gun here. Disobey and believe me, I shall use it.
What's the idea?
Your own welfare, sir. If you rode now... It would be only to meet your death. I may hold you here against your will, sir, but it is for your own good.
You, sir...
Hush! Now you are safe. If
Why, blast your hide, you weevily old longhorn!
Forget it, California. California, the damage is done now. We couldn't follow those fellows if we wanted to. It's too dark. We better turn in again. We can have a look over there in the morning.
Hey, what was that?
Sounded like Molly.
It was Molly. Come on. Molly, where are you? What's the matter? Molly!
There she is, Hoppy.
I see her. Molly, what is it? What happened? Can't you talk, Molly? Are you hurt?
Doesn't look to me like she's been hurt, Hoppy. It's more like a scare.
That's what I think. It wasn't the Indians that frightened her. They were gone by the time she screamed. Try to pull yourself together, Molly. What is it? Try to tell us.
I can't. Oh, I can't, Hoppy.
You have to tell us, Molly. You have to.
No, let her alone, Bob.
But I...
She meant what she said. She can't. We'll look after her. Perhaps she can tell us in the morning.
Just a minute, California. Be right with you. Hoppy, I saw you talking to Molly. Where is she?
That stream over there. She's washing up.
Oh? Did she tell you anything about last night?
She thought she saw Dave.
What?
Actually, she isn't sure what she saw. Said when she tried to get his attention, he just faded away.
Well, what was she doing here?
She explained that. Said she started home and suddenly felt she couldn't go back. That she had to find out what was happening. She reached the canyon soon after we did. I gather she was on her way to our campfire when the sound of those Indians stopped her.
There's too much going on in this canyon, Hoppy. Too much I don't like.
That's the way I feel, Bob. We've got a job to do, and we have to finish it.
What do we do now?
Dig into California's grub, I guess. And after that...
Yeah?
We'll leave Molly to look after our camp while we go see what signs those redskins left.
Here's where they were, Hoppy.
Uh-huh. Pack of ghosts, California. Looks to me like they left plenty of signs.
Hold it, Hoppy. Here comes our cadaverous friend with the side whiskers.
Cheerful looking cuss. Keep your eye on it, Bob. You'll bear watching.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah.
Howdy.
May I ask what you're doing so early this fine morning?
We might ask the same thing. In fact, I think we will. What are you doing?
I consider you my guest. I'm looking after your welfare.
I thought you did enough of that last night.
You may take a lot of looking after my friends, but I see you're studying tracks. Do you make anything of these?
What would you make of them?
Why, these tracks are cloven hooves. The devil made them.
Could be. But then cows also have cloven hooves. And from the looks of things, there must have been plenty of them, running hard, too.
What's the matter?
I see something. You fellas stay here. I think I'll do a little investigating.
Say, Bob, where'd Hoppy go?
He rode in among them rocks. If he isn't back darn soon, I'm going in after him. This isn't one of your tricks, is it?
I know nothing about it. I'm just as much in ignorance as you gentlemen are.
Well, wait, Bobby. Here he comes now.
Hey, Hoppy, what'd you find?
Plenty, Bob. I found Dave.
What?
Really? I've got to see him.
Now, hold it, Bob.
But...
Listen to me. You don't want to see him.
Oh? He's dead, huh?
Don't say anything to Molly. Better let me tell her.
All right, Hoppy. That's sure okay with me.
Now, listen, Hoppy, I ain't joking anymore. I say we ought to get out of this canyon and get out fast. If we don't, the same thing can happen to us.
That's what I think.
You mean you're willing to go?
Right now.
Yippee!
You and Bob start back to camp. I'll be with you just in a minute. I want to talk to Stone here first.
We'll start packing.
Do that.
Come on, Bob.
Right. Come on, boy.
Get up. Come on.
Well, Mr. Stone?
Well, Mr. Cassidy?
I think it's about time you did some talking. I've looked around your camp. I have a good idea what you're here for. As for the rest of this, well, I think you got deeper into something unpleasant than you'd planned on. If you have anything to say, you'd better say it now. Or haven't you?
Mr. Cassidy?
Well?
I'm sorry. I have nothing to say.
You'd better think it over. Come on, Topper. Adios, and remember what I said. Think it over. All packed, California?
All set, Hoppy.
You ready, Molly?
I'm ready, Hoppy.
Good. We'll get started.
Wait. What did you say to Stone, Hoppy?
I asked him if he is ready to talk. He claimed he wasn't. But when he thinks it over, I believe he will. We'll soon have action, Bob, and when we do, I think we'll have action aplenty. Come on, let's go.
Attaboy.
Come on, get it, boy. What are we stopping for, Hoppy?
This is where we separate.
Separate? But we just left the canyon, Hoppy. What does...
Leaving the canyon was just for Stone's benefit. Bob,
What do you mean, Hoppy?
I wanted him to think we'd gone, but we're not. You and California and I are going back, but we're circling and entering the canyon from the other end.
But what about me?
You're riding to your ranch, Bob, and coming back with all your men. You're riding there fast and riding back faster.
But I...
Now get going. I'll explain when you get back.
Okay, Hoppy. I'll be back before you know it. Come on, boy.
If you come with us, you'll take orders and be careful, Molly.
I'll be careful, Hoppy, and I'll take orders.
Good. Then let's get back there. It'll soon be dark. Come on.
Get up, boy.
stone by his campfire. Molly, come along, but stay behind us.
Okay.
Come on, California. We'll take him by surprise if we can.
Right, Hoppy.
You go ahead.
Stone.
Huh?
All right, Stone, we've come back. You're lucky we came back and not someone else. Now, you'd better talk.
But I want to talk. I will talk. You don't understand, Mr. Cassidy.
No, I don't understand, but I want to. Start at the beginning. What are you doing here?
Mr. Cassidy, I'm an archaeologist. I came here to study these cliff dwellings.
Poppy, he's shot.
He'll keep. Come on, we got to find out where that shot came from.
Poppy, look at there.
Bob.
How'd he get here? I thought he was on his way to the ranch.
Wait. I want to see if he's alive.
Is he?
He's alive, all right. But look here.
Hey, there's a bump in his head the size of a hen's egg. But I don't get this, Hoppy. Who hit him? Who fired that shot? Who brought him here?
Who hit Bob? Who fired that shot? Who brought him? That's what you'll soon find out.
Doggone wolves. Wish they'd shut up. Where do you want me to put Bob, Hoppy?
Put him down right there. I think he's coming, too.
Yeah. There.
How's your patient, Molly?
I think Mr. Stone's all right, Hoppy. He just got a flesh wound.
I'm sure I'm not hurt seriously, Mr. Cassidy. At least I don't feel as if I've been.
You're lucky. You'd have been dead by now if someone hadn't hit Bob just when he shot at you.
Bob? Shot at me?
Of course he did. When he gets tired of pretending that he's still unconscious, he'll be ready to admit it. Better come out of it, Bob. We can wait as long as you can, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never tried to shoot anybody.
Oh? Well, your gun tells a different story. You see, you fell right into my trap, Bob.
What trap?
You wanted to come back here and shut Stone up, didn't you? We gave you the chance to come back and try. Stone, you said you're an archaeologist, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm...
Here to study these cliff dwellings.
Yes, but I wanted to keep my findings secret until my book is published. I happened to mention it to Mr. Travis once, and he said he'd help me out by reviving all those old legends about the canyon. I thought it was all sort of a joke. I certainly didn't know that anyone was going to be killed on my account.
No one was. Not on your account, anyway. Bob's been using this canyon for stolen cattle. It was his men made those noises like Indians last night. You were just the goat.
But I thought...
You thought there'd been no rustling, Molly. Because no ranchers had complained. Naturally not. These were wet cattle brought across the Rio from Mexico. The losers were Mexican owners.
Oh.
And besides...
Wait a second. You're talking a lot, Cassidy. But I'd like to see you prove all this.
All right, Bob. Come and show him, Dave. Bob doesn't believe me.
Sure thing, Harvey. I'm the man that can prove it, Bob.
Dave. But I thought that...
You thought you'd killed him. Only you hadn't. He lived to knock you out when you tried to kill Stone. You certainly...
Harvey, watch out!
You won't get me!
A little too slow, Bob. He's all yours, Dave. Take him home and hang him high. That'll mark the end of the legend of Massacre Canyon.
Well, Hoppy certainly put an end to that ghost tale, The Legend of Massacre Canyon. Black Grass Fever is the title of Hoppy's next yarn, and concerns the story about a gentleman gambler, a swindling banker, and Hoppy almost landing in jail. So be sure to listen to the next thrilling episode of Hopalong Cassidy.
Hopalong Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 22nd, 1950, a syndicated recording. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And if you are listening into radio on the night of September 2nd, 1950 in the Los Angeles area at around 6:30, you could have tuned in to KNX and heard My Favorite Husband, Hawaii Calls on KHJ, Strictly from Dixie, a musical program on KFWB or NBC affiliate KFI's broadcast of this next episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers called Play for Keeps.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Play for Keeps.
At 5 minutes past midnight on December 12th, several years ago, Sheriff Bob Smithers of Bradshaw County, Texas, staged a raid on a gambling establishment located on a country road. But there were no patrons in the house, and the sheriff's face grew dark red as he and the local constable failed to find any evidence.
There's nothing in the upstairs room either, Sheriff.
You're sure of that, huh, Jim?
Not even a deck of cards.
See, Sheriff, like I told you, I quit the racket. Yet this is the fourth time this year you rousted me out of bed.
I know you're operating, Walton. And I'm going to get you for it. You're not going to milk the citizens of this county. Not while I'm sheriff.
Look, Sheriff, this happens to be my house. Warrant or no warrant, you finished your business here. How about getting out?
I guess we might as well go, Sheriff.
No, Jim. We're going to stay a minute. I want to talk to Walton. And you.
About what?
I was sure of this raid tonight, Jim. Dead sure. Just like I've been sure the last three times, because only you and me ever knew about them. I didn't tell nobody but you, Jim. You, the constable.
Sounds like he's accusing you of tipping me off, Dunn.
I know he tipped you, Walton.
Better watch what you're saying, Bob.
All that talk about law and order and wanting to uphold him. Let me see your wallet, Jim. Take it out and let me see it.
Now, wait a minute, Sheriff.
You shut up! Come on, Jim. I want to see if you're carrying the kind of money an honest man gets for being a peace officer.
What I carry on me is my own business.
Why, you cheap two-bit snake.
Nothing cheap about a few hundred once in a while. Be smart, Sheriff. Get a few for yourself.
Why don't you listen to him, Sheriff? He's talking sense.
Come on, both of you. I'm taking you in.
You can't make anything stick.
Maybe not. But I'm going to make this county too hot for both of you. I'm going to run you out of it.
Keep your hands off me, Sheriff. You're under arrest.
Grab him, Walton. I got him. Just hold him, fool, while I get his gun.
I got him.
There. Now.
Don, you killed him.
No, you killed him. You grabbed his gun and killed him. He was after you, Walton. I got a gun of my own, and I'm the constable.
Are you setting me up for a frame?
Not necessarily, Walton. It's up to you. His body could be moved out of here.
What's your play? What do you want?
No more chicken mash. 50% of your take. You can go right on operating.
With him dead, you crazy fool?
You're forgetting something, Walton. I'm top dog now. And investigating this murder will be my job until a new sheriff is appointed. But I don't think I'm going to be able to solve it.
The body of Sheriff Smithers was found the next morning, dumped in a ditch by the side of an old wagon road. During the next few days, Constable Jim Dunn conducted a seemingly honest but fruitless investigation, even following the efficient peace officer's routine of making use of the state lab facilities at Austin. But citizens of Bradshaw were not satisfied, nor was the editor of the Bradshaw Times. Clippings of his editorials were on file with Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers, and the captain sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
Want to
see me, Captain?
Yeah, Jay, sit down. There's no acting sheriff appointed by the court of Bradshaw County here, Jace. I think you better take over.
About the killing of Sheriff Smithers?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to. I knew Smithers.
See, that's right. You worked with him about 5 years ago.
When he first took office. Cleaned that county up in 3 months and cleaned it good.
Well, it doesn't look like it stayed clean, Jace. Not according to this editorial clipping from the Bradshaw Times.
I've read it.
It's going to be a tough one, Jace. No clue to the killer, and the trail has had a couple of days to cool off.
Well, then I'd better get going before it gets any cooler. You'll hear from me.
Jace?
Yeah, Captain?
I just want to remind you, whoever did it doesn't hesitate to kill a man wearing a badge.
I reached Bradshaw in the early morning. The town was waking up, and the Bradshaw Times was turning out its biweekly edition. I went in to see the editor, Frank Carlin.
So you read my editorials, huh? Well, I'm glad to know somebody's reading.
Yeah, you got readers, all right. People have been clipping them out and mailing them into our headquarters.
Yeah, I guess there's always a handful of people to hold out. Wonder what the world would do without them. Everybody was so burned the day of the killing. Then in 48 hours, they want to forget it. Yeah, it's always that way.
How about the constable, Jim Dunn?
Oh, he's all right, I guess. But he's only been constable for a year. He just doesn't have the experience. It'll take the court a couple more days to decide on a new sheriff. I better knock out a story on you rangers coming in. Might wake the people up again.
I'd rather you didn't, Mr. Carlin. I'll be around, and they'll know soon enough.
See what you mean. Want me to lay off the editorials for a while?
If you don't mind.
You know, the sheriff and I are on different sides of the fence politically, but he was an honest man, and I liked him. I got a headline back there, all set and gathering dust. It says, Sheriff's Killer Caught. Ranger, give me a chance to use it.
I found a place to park my horse trailer and put charcoal in the pasture. Then I headed for the constable's office and met Constable Jim Dunn.
There are all the reports in my investigations, Ranger. You think I haven't done a good job, maybe those will change your mind. I even checked ballistics with the Austin lab.
My being here isn't a criticism of you, Mr. Dunn. I'm here because I was sent until a new sheriff is appointed and to give you help.
I've done everything possible. I've questioned almost 100 people. I've checked alibis on more than a dozen possible suspects. It's all there.
Yeah. Everything's here. Everything except the murderer. And that's the only thing I'm interested in seeing, Mr. Dunn. A little cooperation between us might clean it up.
I'm sorry I blew, Ranger. It's been getting under my skin. This murder could have been committed by anybody. Some bum from a hobo jungle, some drunk anybody.
We can't arrest anybody. We've got to arrest somebody. Somebody definite. Now, exactly where was the body found?
Old wagon road bypasses town about 2 miles north.
Is it fit for a car?
Yeah, but you got to go roundabout to get to it. Almost 11 miles. You won't find nothing there, though.
I'd like to take a look anyhow. Can't we cut cross-country on horses?
Yeah, shorter, if you want it.
I want to. My horse is in a pasture. I'll meet you at the edge of town in 5 minutes.
The body was found just a little further on. You can see the road now.
Not much of a road left.
No use for it anymore.
Sheriff must have had some reason for using it if he came way out here.
Hey, here we are. Oh,
boy. Oh, charcoal. Oh, boy.
Hey, Sheriff's car was found right over here by the side of the road.
Where was he?
Lying right beside it. Been dead about 7-8 hours when he was found.
Who found him?
Cowpoke looking for some strays.
That's lucky. Otherwise, the body might have been here for a few days or even weeks before somebody came across it.
Yeah.
You get pictures of the position of the car and the body?
Of course I did. Anything else?
Yeah, any exhibits, casts of footprints, anything like that?
No. When I got the call, I brought a bunch of men out with me. I was excited, and I didn't think to stop them from tramping around.
I can see why you'd be upset. Well, if there was anything to find, it's a cinch it isn't here now. Weather would have wiped it out if your men hadn't.
You want to go back to town?
Yeah. I want to look at the car.
Huh.
Get up.
How about the exhibits from the sheriff's body?
I sent the bullets and the gun in. Your lab checker verified it was the sheriff's own gun.
I'm talking about the clothes he was wearing. You got those, haven't you?
Sure I got them. I got all the evidence there was.
You should have sent it all in. I want to look at that stuff, too. Well, let's step it up. Come on, Charlie.
Yeah. You're up. Yeah.
There's everything, all tagged. Everything the sheriff was wearing when he was killed.
I see. And this the shirt he was wearing?
You see the blood and bullet holes, don't you?
Yeah.
How come your lab didn't find any prints on the gun when I sent it in?
It didn't even have the sheriff's own prints. It was wiped clean. Well, this is kind of odd.
What?
Well, the sheriff was shot twice, and they dug one slug out of him. The other one passed clean through.
Yeah, according to the coroner's report, one slug hit his collarbone. That stopped it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The course of the bullets. Both shots fired into the left side, just above the kidney. But the one that came through came out the right side of his shirt collar here, right through his neck.
What about it?
It's a funny course for a bullet to take, unless the man who fired the gun was lying down and fired up at the sheriff.
Yeah, that's what I figured, too. They must have had a fight for the gun. He got it, but the sheriff knocked him down and...
No, that isn't the way it happened.
How do you know?
Because the sheriff wouldn't half turn his back on a man who'd just taken his gun. Besides, these powder burns show the gun was being held right against the shirt when it was fired.
What do you think happened then?
Well, the sheriff must have been in some position where he was bent over forward, which he wouldn't be unless somebody was holding him in that position. Here, stand in front of me for a minute. Now, you're back toward me.
What are you going to do?
Slip one hand under your arms and then up behind your head in a half Nelson and twist your other arm behind you in an arm lock. Then bend you over forward like this. The sheriff was held like I'm holding you now. The bullets were pumped into him. See what I mean?
Now that's just a guess.
It's a guess I'm going to back up. And if the sheriff was held in a half Nelson and an arm lock, it tells us something else. That there were two men in on the murder. Unless the killer had three hands and used the third one to fire the gun.
That's pretty smart figuring, Ranger.
Only because it's the kind of figuring I've been doing for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Are these the photos that were taken at the scene?
Yeah, the sheriff's body and the car.
The car, the body moved any before these were taken?
Nope. Car was right there, with the sheriff flat on his face beside it.
And less than 2 feet away from it. His right side toward the car.
Yeah.
The bullet that passed through the sheriff came out on his right side. That means it should have hit the car. But there's no mark.
I don't see that. That helps us any.
It helps plenty, Dunn. It tells us the sheriff wasn't killed out there. He was killed someplace else and brought out there. I knew that Sheriff Smithers had been killed by two men, and that his body had been moved after the killing. But it wasn't nearly enough. It was evening before I figured out my next move, a move I didn't like to make. Evening, ma'am. Remember me?
Why, it's Jace Pearson, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Been a long time, Mrs. Smithers.
Oh, come in, Jace. Come in. I suppose you know about Bob.
Yes, ma'am. And that's why I'm down here. I came by to pay my respects.
Funny thing. First time Bob brought you through that door, I never reckoned you might be back someday, looking for a man who killed him.
I wish it could have been for another reason, ma'am. But Bob kept things working so well here, there seldom was any reason for a ranger to come visiting in Bradshaw County.
I know how you fellas keep working along. Can I offer you a bite to eat? Please, Jace.
Well, that'd be real fine, Miss Smithers. I knew it might help her and me if she could keep a little busy with her hands doing woman things in the kitchen. And I tried to eat, but kept remembering the man who'd sat across this same table from me 5 years before. Big, honest, stubborn, and unafraid.
It's mighty nice of you to stop by, Jace. Bob would have been happy to see you sitting here again. He always said a man with a good appetite was right with the world.
Ma'am, I want your permission to have Bob's body exhumed for further examination.
Is it necessary?
I'm not satisfied with the examination that was made here.
All right, Chase.
I'd like to have a more thorough examination made for headquarters. I'm sending them the clothes Bob was wearing for lab check, and I don't want anybody to know about it for now.
All right. You're going to get him, aren't you, Chase?
I'm going to try awful hard, ma'am.
Ranger. I've been waiting for you. Thought maybe you might have turned in for the night.
I'm going to in a few minutes. I just came back to pick up the clothing exhibits.
Well, I locked them away again.
I'll dig them out. I want to send them on to Cam Mabry for lab tests.
Well, all right.
I'll give you a receipt for them.
Okay.
Don?
Yeah?
In those reports of yours, I didn't see any mention of a man named Lou Walton.
Why should there be?
I understand that Walton's a gambler and that you helped Smithers raid his place the night Smithers was killed.
Now, here are the exhibits. You're thinking way out of line on Walton. His alibi's airtight.
According to who?
According to me. I was with him all night after Smithers left the place.
You didn't come back to town with the sheriff?
No. I stayed at Walton's.
Why?
Because the sheriff asked me to stay there. We didn't find anything, but the sheriff figured if I hung around, somebody might show up, a call up, looking for a game. And I'd be able to get him some evidence, then. Anything else you want to know?
No. I guess that lets Walton out. I'll take these things.
Sure. Go ahead.
See you tomorrow, Dunn.
Number, please.
Oak Hill, 243.
Moment, please.
Hello?
Walton? Done. Now get those people out and shut down.
Why? What's wrong?
That ranger's too smart. I try to make things look good for myself, and, well, I guess I made him look too good.
Well, how much does he know?
All he's going to know. You just close down and stand pat until he wears himself out.
The sheriff's body was dug up in the examiner's report sent on to Austin. Headquarters also had the exhibits I'd gotten from Dunn. By late afternoon of the next day, Captain Stinson telephoned me long distance.
Got a complete report from the lab, Jace.
Go ahead, Captain.
You were right about the position of the body when the shots were fired. Autopsy report shows the organs were pierced in a manner that'd be possible only if the sheriff were bent over forward.
Good. Anything else?
Yeah. That shirt you sent up. Lab thinks Smithers was killed indoors.
Why?
Some lint stuck to the blood and held when it dried. Analysis indicates it comes from a fabric used in expensive carpeting. Violet color.
Thanks, Captain. That may be enough to wind this up. Then you're convinced that Walton was running a gambling joint, Mr. Carlin?
Was and is. I'd swear to it. But nobody's been able to prove it. You know how suckers are. They lose their shirts and keep their mouths shut. Think they're in on a smart thing and they help the racketeers to cover up.
Then Walton must have been tipped off that he was being raided.
Part of the racket. They pay off and get tipped off.
You ever been in Walton's house?
No.
You know anybody who has been there?
Well, no secret. The newspaper men gamble, moan's good for him. My linotype man plays horses, I know. Pete?
I'll be there in a minute. Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy.
Pete, you ever been in Lou Walton's place? Well, come on, I don't stall. Tell the Ranger. It's important.
Well... Oh, yeah, I've been there once or twice.
I only want to know one thing. You notice any carpeting in the house?
Carpeting? Oh, sure, the house is like a palace. Wall-to-wall carpet all over the place.
What color?
Well, it's a kind of a purple, I'd say.
How about saying violet?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
You got something, Ranger?
Yeah. I'm going to wake up the nearest judge and get a search warrant for Walton. You better brush the dust off that headline you told me about. I think you're going to get a chance to use it.
I was wondering when you get around to me, Ranger. Seems like everybody who wears a badge just loves to poke his nose into my life.
I wouldn't worry about your nose, Walton. If you want to be smart, watch out for your mouth.
I didn't mean anything, Ranger. Just that a man ought to have a little privacy.
And you love the death cells at Huntsville. They're real private.
Well, I always cooperated. The constable, Jim Dunn, he'll tell you that.
I bet he would. Nice carpeting you got here. I like the color.
Yeah. Hey, let me get you a drink or something, Ranger. All good stuff. I don't have anything but the best. You know the old saying, the best is none too good.
Walton, there's been a strong cleaning fluid used on a piece of this rug. And one spot faded just a little.
Well, I spilled some wine. I had a party one night.
The night the Sheriff Smithers was here last?
No, before that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Nobody was here the night Smithers came.
No, nobody. The constable, he stayed. Stayed most of the night after the sheriff left.
Yeah, so he told me.
Let me show you the rest of the house. Upstairs.
No, thanks. I just want to look at the walls in this room. Sure pretty. You know, at Huntsville, they don't have pretty walls like these. Just cold concrete and steel bars.
What do you keep talking about Huntsville?
I'll tell you as soon as I stand up on this chair and rip off this new piece of wallpaper.
Don't. You have no right to.
Just looking for this small bullet hole papered over. Of course, you know that one bullet went right through the sheriff.
The hole was repapered because a heavy picture fell. The nail made the hole.
38 caliber nail?
I'm
going to have this rug ripped up and sent to my lab, Walton. No cleaning fluid made will wipe out all of a blood trace. Even a drop is enough to hang you.
I didn't do it, I tell you. Dunn shot him.
Huh?
It was Dunn. Dunn shot him.
Hold your wrists out.
You'll never get those on me.
You bet wrong this time, gambler. Now get up. I'm taking you in.
I took him through town to the county jail, and I walked over to the constable's office, but Dunn wasn't there. I had to find him quick before he knew I had Walton. I headed back for the jail, and as I turned into the street, I saw something move in the shadows. There was another car, not far from mine, the constable's car, and Dunn was getting into it.
My tires. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 convinced Constable Jim Dunn is subject sought in killing of Sheriff Smithers, Bradshaw County, attempting getaway headed north on State Highway 19 from Bradshaw. Alert Highway Patrol and all units for complete roadblock of area. Order no further radio communication. Subject in Constable's marked car, equipped with shortwave receiver.
Will do, Unit 10.
Unit 10's car out of commission. Will attempt to commandeer another car for pursuit. Unit 10, 10-4.
KDXA, Austin.
What happened?
Step out of the way, please. Step back. Come on, Charco. Let's hope Dunn heard that call.
Gamble. The last part of my call had been a plan. A plan I wanted Dunn to hear. He'd know he couldn't get more than 15 or 20 miles before he was blocked unless he took some back road. And I'd seen him take a north turn out of town toward the wagon road he'd dumped the sheriff's body on. It was 11 miles for him by car, 2 miles cross country for me. I raked charcoal all the way, reached the road, and rope dragged a couple of dead logs across it. We finished just in time. I heard the whine of a car coming over the rise in the rough road as the first glimmer of the headlights stabbed the darkness. I tied Chaco back in the trees and dropped in the brush to wait.
This is the end of the road, Don.
Don't try backing up. Now, you haven't got any tires. I'm giving you a chance to surrender, Don.
You get your chances, Ranger.
You missed, Don. Now I'm coming around the car to get you. You want to shoot it out? Let's go.
Oh, wait a minute. Go, Ranger. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. I'll drop my gun. See? I ain't armed.
Come here.
I ain't armed.
Neither was Smithers when you lifted his gun and killed him with it. Good thing for Texas all constables aren't like you. Come on. Walton's waiting for you at the jail. Looks like you'll be partners again at Huntsville.
The following week, the headlines of the Bradshaw Times read, Sheriff Killers Caught. Though Jim Dunn protested his innocence, Lou Walton's confession and evidence submitted by the Rangers convinced the court of Dunn's guilt. Both were sentenced to life imprisonment at Huntsville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tune 2 yesterday from September 2nd, 1950 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for tuning in.